Welcome to City Light Church. Welcome to our church family. Welcome if you're watching online. We're so blessed to have you here today. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're heading into a new series today, and it's called Breakthrough. And I believe that this is a year of breakthrough. Let's pray and let's dedicate this time that we're going to spend in the Word of God. Amen? Thank you, Father. And Revelations, Jesus said, the Word says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Holy Spirit, you're always trying to speak to us. Truth that sets us free. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light for our path. You're always trying to show us the way to go through the illumination of our minds and hearts with your Word. Light up your Word today as it comes forth out of my mouth and comes into our hearts and our spirit, Lord. Let it take root, let it take hold, let truth set us free today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to talk about breakthrough. I'm going to talk about being prepared, preparing yourself for breakthrough. I'm believing, I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for a breakout year in 2020. You know, and I don't want to stay in a survival mode like most of last year. I want breakthrough. And, you know, God has breakthrough for all of us. Some of you will go from survival. You'll go from survival to stable. And you'll go from stable to strong. And you'll go from strong to surplus. And from surplus to abundance. And I say some of you, because so much depends upon you. And Jesus said that. He said in Matthew 9:28, according to your what? Faith, according to whose? Your faith, it will be done to you. And what Jesus is saying, it's not just about what you believe, it's about what you do. Breakthrough. To break through will require some action, some response on your part. Because faith without action is what? It's dead. It's useless. If we want freedom, if you want to be free to be a believer, if we want freedom, you have to stand up and you have to fight for it. If we want freedom in our country of Canada, we got to stand up and fight for it. I say thank God for people, for Canadians who are standing up and fighting for our freedom today. Faith without actions is dead. In the Old Testament is the story of King David. Just before he has just been anointed king over all of Israel, he's just been promoted, he's been celebrated, he's been crowned high ruler of Israel. Now things are going pretty good for David. But then enter resistance, enter opposition, enter the Philistines. And they were the ones, remember them, they were the ones who watched their warrior undefeated champion Goliath get annihilated, slayed by this young shepherd boy, David. And they were the ones who heard all about David's reputation while he was serving under King Saul. They heard that David had killed not just thousands, but tens of thousands of their Philistine warriors. Now, do you think that those things lingered in their mind? Absolutely. So when they heard that David had been anointed king, they launched an all-out assault against David and Israel, who were public enemy number one in their minds. Their future depended on what they did with David. And so David finds himself in an impossible situation, and he needs a breakthrough. 2 Samuel 5:17 says, when the Philistines heard that David had been chosen to be king of Israel, all the Philistines went up and to find him. When David heard of it, he went down to the strong place. The Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. The entire Philistine force, every garrison was there in this valley, and they literally spread out in the valley. Rephaim is called the Valley of Giants. Verse 19, then David asked the Lord, shall I go up to fight against the Philistines? He's looking upon this scene, and I think there's something in his heart and saying, oh God, this is an impossible situation. I mean, there's an uncountable number of their enemy army of Philistine. And Philistine, that word means serpent, snake, Satan. And they're spread out. And David said, wow, God, we're facing insurmountable odds here. And so David asked the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for it is sure I will give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal Perazim and beat them there in battle. The Message version said that David snatched them to pieces. And he said, the Lord has broken through those who hate me, like the breaking through of a flood. And so he gave that name, he gave that place the name Baal Perazim. Now God is known in the Bible by many names, and his names reveal his character. And Baal Perazim, you know what it means? The God of breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough. And when David defeated this great army, he named the place of his victory Baal Perazim. God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough. And I believe that every time after that, David and his army passed by that place, they would say, hey, remember that place? That's where God, the God of the breakthrough, showed up. That's where God of the breakthrough released his favor like a flood. And I believe that it was not just David. I believe it was the generations after him, his children and his grandchildren. When they went into that place, they said, hey, remember that this is the place that Granddad told us about. This is the place where God gave us the victory against an army many, many times the size. Baal Perazim. What does it mean? Breakthrough. It means breakthrough. What does breakthrough mean? Breakthrough means, number one, a significant or sudden advance or development. Number two, an act or an instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. Do you have any of those in your life? Breakthrough, a military advance through and beyond an enemy's defenses. We are in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare in our country right now. Breakthrough is when God breaks open a new realm in the spirit, and he brings us through to new levels in our life. David was so overwhelmed that he said, 2 Samuel 5:20, the Lord has broken through those who hate me like the breaking through of a flood. And he's saying, hey guys, hey men, we have just experienced an amazing supernatural victory that was beyond anything that we could do. It was a breakthrough, like the breaking through of a flood. And David likened God's power to that, the breaking of a flood. Think how powerful. Think how powerful water can be. Just a wave, 3 or 4 feet high, can literally sweep away a vehicle, a car weighing thousands of pounds. Think of this. Think of a tidal wave, a tsunami. Nothing can stop the force of that power, right? And that's what David's talking about. David is saying when God of the breakthrough shows up and he releases his power, it will be like a flood, like a tsunami. He's not talking about a trickle, a stream, or even a river. He's talking about a flood, a release, a flood of favor, a flood of ideas, a flood of healing, a flood of brand new opportunities, a flood of God's favor into our lives. I like watching Joel Osteen. I wrote down the words of a message where he said these words. Every voice, and he was talking about breakthrough, every voice will tell you why this is not for you. Get in agreement with God and say, God, this is for me today. I'm raising my expectations. I'm shaking off doubt, negativity, disappointments, self-pity, little dreams and little goals, and God, I will make room for a flood of your goodness. Aren't those good words? Those are words for us today. I'll share a breakthrough that I experienced a long time ago. We were just newly married, Karen and I. And when we got married, I was working as an advertising representative for a television station here in Lethbridge, the CTV station. And in the time I got there, almost that very year we got married, the economy tanked. And I lost all my corporate sponsors. And I'd been working there for about 4 years, and literally my wages almost dropped to almost nothing. And so I'd make a decision to quit that job, look for another job, and I went to work for a business equipment company here in town selling office furnishings, hospitals, professional, you know, offices, restaurants, anywhere. Thanks, Britton. And my starting wage was $1,000 a month, and that was my draw. And anything above that, I would get commission on anything I sold. Well, it was about 6 months later, and I had sold very little. In fact, I had sold so little, I went to my boss and said, Tom, I owe you money. I says, I'm not even earning my draw. He said, and he just encouraged, he said, stick in this, just press through. Just keep on learning your product knowledge and just, you know, get out there and, you know, and do what you can. And so I continued. But I want to tell you, we were poor, we were broke, and spiritually, I was struggling. And, I mean, we couldn't even afford to put gas into our gas tank. We, you know, we're having a problem buying a quart of milk. And I was desperate, and every day after work, I would go up to my room and I would pray to God. I said, God, we need a financial breakthrough in our life. And every time I prayed, it's almost God said the same thing to me. The very words of Jesus, Matthew 6, verse 11. Anybody know what that says? Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's all I ever heard from God. And it was about 8 months, and I'm ready, almost ready to give up. I'm holding on. 8 months into my job. And one day, Karen, after praying, what a great wife I had, such a prayer warrior. And she came to me and she says, Hun, I really felt God saying that there's a breakthrough coming, that things are just going to break wide open, you know, in your career, in sales, it's going to come. Well, you know, it was maybe just a few days later, I was sitting in the CEO of the county of Warner. I was in the town of Warner. We got a call, and he wanted a whole bunch of furniture, and so he just told me, I need this, this, and this, and I told him, I brought my arm full of catalogs and with my finishes and my fabrics on the chairs, and I said, well, here's what I suggest, and I put those, and he says, okay, that's great, and with cafeteria furniture, desk, chairs, I can't remember, it was quite a bit of furniture. And I remember sitting in his office, and he said, okay, what's this going to cost it? What's this going to cost us? Give me a total here. And so I give him a total. It was a little over $15,000. And today it would be more like $25,000. And I thought, and he says, and he said, okay. And then, and I thought in my mind, when I gave him that total, I thought, okay, he's going to do like everybody else has done to me. He's going to say, oh, okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you, and then he'll end up buying from someone else. But not this time. Not this time. He says, okay, I'll take it. I said, what would you take? He says, all of it. And he wrote out on a piece of paper, $15,200 and something dollars on a purchase order. And I want to tell you, The commission I made on that sale alone was $1,500. And I want to tell you, after that, it was like I breached the dam. And it was unstoppable. Almost like I couldn't stop the sales from getting the sales anymore. It's like something turned. You know what that happened? Breakthrough. And I experienced a breakthrough in my career that lasted not just, you know, for a season. It lasted 10 years until I quit and I went into full-time ministry. A breakthrough. Supernatural breakthrough in my life that, you know, it was the favor of God. That's all I could say. I want to tell you, your Bible and my Bible clearly tells me that we are not supposed to go through life defeated and discouraged. Amen? I never get a good break. I'll never get out of debt. I can never get ahead. Good things never happen to you. That's not what's supposed to come out of our mouth, right? Let's get into faith. Let's get breakthrough minded. Amen? In 2022. Yeah, just give us a clap. All right. Thank you, Lord. Let's get breakthrough minded. I want something amazing to talk about in 2022, about 2022. Wherever you are, whoever you are, start thinking bigger. Start thinking better, right? And let's take the limits off of God. Let's take the limits off of Him. I want to read you the words of that 2022 prophecy by that Apostolic Council of Elders, prophetic people, that happened. I mentioned it 2 or 3 times. Just give you a few words here. However, in the midst of this challenging time, God is going to cause us to understand that we are limitless in what we believe for from God. There will be a breakthrough of the ceilings that have stopped your faith. Faith on new levels will be critical in this season. There will be unstoppable breakthroughs. Unstoppable breakthroughs. In order to manifest our God-given abilities, we must have the faith of God. God wants to do something new, something amazing in your life in 2022. I declare that. I prophesy that over you right now. Ephesians 1, verse 18. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that He finds in us and through us, His holy ones. It's interesting Paul uses that phrase, flooded with light. Verse 19, and I pray you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. The eyes of the world will be on you. Paul was saying, in effect, that the light and the revelation is for us today. That we are living in a generation that will see the goodness of God like no other generation has ever seen before. I truly believe that. Now, for this to happen, 2 things. Number one, it will be because of our faith response. Hebrews 6:12, it's not on the screen. It says it's through faith and patience that we will inherit the promises of God. Right? So number one, if we're going to experience these breakthroughs and these things that God is talking about, then it's number one, it's going to be according to your faith response. And number two, in order for this to happen, you have to keep God first place in your life. And my personal breakthrough, I was putting God first in first place in my life. First place in your devotions, first place in your relationships, first place in your finances. Seek Him first. Honor God. And then take the limits off of Him. Let's talk about surfing. This guy, obviously, is a skilled surfer, right? I mean, he knows what equipment he needs to use. He knows how to catch that one good wave to ride it. And he also knows how to properly use his equipment. He knows, you know, he's been trained. He's skilled. But there's one thing this surfer cannot do. He can't make the waves. He can't create and generate the waves. All they can do is catch the right one and then ride it onto shore. Well, breakthrough is kind of like the same way for you and for us. For you and for me. Breakthroughs are the same. You cannot generate your own breakthrough. You can only ride it when God sends the breakthrough. And God is going to send breakthrough. A breakthrough is when God generates a wave and He sends it in your direction, and you ride that wave onto dry ground and onto a higher level of living in the Spirit. Amen? Like a breakthrough of water, God wants to send waves into your life. Waves that smash, that go through all those obstacles and barriers that have been set around you. A breakthrough creates momentum in your life to move you forward from the place that you've been stuck in, that negative situation, and to move you past that, or even to point you into a new and a fresh direction. I believe this was what God wants to do in your life. You know, I said a minute ago that you can't create your breakthrough. But listen, you can prepare for your breakthrough. And that you can pray for your breakthrough. How much time do I have here? An hour. Okay. Give me a few more minutes to continue. These are five things I believe are necessary for breakthrough in our lives. And we see that in an incredible story. Mark chapter 2 tells a story about a guy who needed a breakthrough, and he got that breakthrough. It's a story. We'll go to that next slide. Thank you. It's about a story about a guy who was paralyzed. And to some of you, this is a familiar story, right? And he's picked up by four friends, and he's brought to the house where Jesus was in Capernaum, this town of Capernaum, where Jesus was, and people heard where he was, and people came in droves, and they to hear Jesus preach. So many people, inside and outside of the house, but they couldn't get the guy into the house. It was impossible. But they would not be denied. And so they found a way to get him up onto the roof of the house where Jesus was speaking, tear off the tiles, and lower this guy. And the audacity of what they did, it was amazing if you think about it. They literally tore half the roof off the room of this house. And they lowered Jesus down, interrupted all that the master was doing. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw the extent of their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are now forgiven. Now we'll fast forward to verse 12. Immediately the man was healed and sprang to his feet in front of everyone. He left home. The crowd witnessed this miracle. They were awestruck. They shouted praise to God and said, we have never seen anything like this before. It's breakthrough. He got his breakthrough. Five things necessary for a breakthrough. Write these down. You should be taking notes. Remember I said last week? Number one, make room for Jesus. You got to make room for Jesus. Verse 2 in Mark's story says, soon there were so many people crowded inside the house to hear him that there was no more room, even outside the door. While Jesus was preaching the word of God, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man. Four men had to get him to Jesus. They had to get him to the house where Jesus was. Amen? It happened when Jesus was in the house. Breakthrough happens when we are in God's house, in the context of community. God's presence in the house is everything. I want to talk to you just briefly about two types of presence. There is, on the next slide, there's the omnipresence of God, and then there is the manifested presence of God. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere. You can't run from God. You can't hide. You can go find a cave under a mountain. He's going to be there. He's omnipresent, right? I mean, you could run up to the mountain. Some people say, I'll just meet with God in the mountain. That's true. You can meet with God because His omnipresence is there. But there's another type of presence, the manifested presence. And that manifested presence shows up when we gather together as His church. It's then that His presence shows up. And it's this manifested presence that opens up the possibilities for salvations, for healings, for spiritual growth, for signs, wonders, and miracles. When Jesus is in the house, anything is possible. The most precious thing that we have in this house, and we were told as young pastors when we started pastoring, 30 years ago in Tabor, that the most precious thing, Doug and Karen, that you could ever have, the prophets told us, is the presence of Jesus in the house. The presence of Jesus. It's our lampstand. Britton prayed about the lampstand. It's our lampstand. Every church has a lampstand. The intensity and the luminosity of that lampstand depends upon the people within it. The presence of God, God dwells in the praises of His people, in the passionate praises and fervent worship of His people. Amen? In the reverent holiness of His people and the passionate pursuit in which we run after God and we desire Him. That determines the luminosity and the volume and the intensity of His lamp in our church. And the greater the presence and the power of God, the greater the signs, wonders, and miracles that we will see in this house. See, I said, so much of it, of the breakthrough, depends upon us. He is the breakthrough. Jesus is the God of the breakthrough, and He's in the house. Amen? And He's got breakthrough for every single one of you. Amen? Number two, overcome your paralysis. You want a breakthrough? Overcome your paralysis, your defeatist mentality. Four men, verse 3, carried a paralyzed man on a mat. He was paralyzed physically, but mentally he was not paralyzed. This man did not have a defeatist mentality. I think he was thinking about this verse in Isaiah 56 that says, when he, the Messiah, comes, the lame shall leap like a deer. And I believe he was thinking, is Jesus the Messiah? Jesus is the Messiah. So many of us, we can be paralyzed by our wrong thinking. Condemnation, maybe because of a bad past, right? Or fear, all these things, condemnation, chronic fear, pessimism. I like this slide here. We have a choice. We have a choice. Fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. See, the choice is ours. We can fear, or we can put our faith in God. We do have a choice, don't we? It's not that, well, it's just, I'm full of fear and there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, you can do about it. You can make a choice not to be fearful. And you can make a choice to put your faith and trust in God. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? He's giving you a choice. Either one. What are you going to submit to? Spirit of fear or the Holy Spirit's power and presence? Amen? He reveals truth that sets you free from fear. We have a choice. Let's not have a pessimistic, defeatist mentality in life. Let's believe in Christ. Amen? Number three, be in the right company. When Jesus saw the extent of their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are now forgiven." His friends were not skeptics. They were full of faith, real faith. Did you ever hear the saying, "Show me your friends, and I will show you your future"? Show me your friends, I will show you your future. Today I see many Christians sinking to the shallow side of faith. They've isolated themselves. They've insulated themselves. They're scattered, and they're on their own. And I believe, you know, this is the same thing that happened to the early disciples just after the cross, after the crucifixion of Christ. You know, and he was buried. You know, they were a discouraged, disappointed band of disciples. And two of them one day were walking along the Emmaus Road and just talking about, man. And they were so disappointed. Like so many, I know some Christians are walking along the COVID road today. And Luke chapter 24, 17, they stood with downcast faces. And they said, we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They were downcast, they were discouraged, but look what happened in the next verse, Acts chapter 2, which follows the chapter of Luke. It says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, where were they? They were all together in one place. What happened right after that? Here's what happened. The sound of a blowing of a violent wind filled the house. And a flame of fire came down and separated like tongues and separate and landed on each one of them. And when that happened, they all began to speak in tongues by the Holy Spirit. And after that day, it's called Pentecost, the church broke out. The early church broke out like a flood. Amen? And God of the breakthrough showed up because they were all together in one place. They were in the place of prayer, in the place of fellowship, in the place of unity. Amen? And they were in church. They were in church. Number four, refuse to be denied. Refuse to be denied. Verse 4, but when they realized that they couldn't even get near him because of the crowd, they went to the top of the house and they tore away the roof above. They tore the roof off the house above Jesus. These five men did not turn back. They would not be denied. They were unstoppable. They would rather be inconvenienced and receive the miracle or be complacent and lose the blessing of God. They would never seem to break through. You know, we've all had setbacks, haven't we? We all had disappointments in our life. Something that, you know, that didn't turn out. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, every challenge, every disappointment can deposit something good in you, inside of you. And I love what Joel Osteen says here. He said, God doesn't waste anything. You are not defined by your past. You are prepared by your past. Do you recognize this guy? Anybody know who he is? Shout it out. Yep, there we go. This is Thomas Edison. Died in 1931. This was an amazing guy. Edison was the inventor of many things. Like he invented things like the phonograph or the motion picture camera. And of course, he invented the electric light bulb. In trying to invent this electric light bulb, he tried 2,000 times. 2,000 times before he actually invented that light bulb. 2,000 times he could have quit. But he wanted his breakthrough. And he was asked by a reporter about all the failed experiments. And this is what he said. I never failed once. I just found 2,000 ways that wouldn't work. Mistakes, failures, disappointments can all be a part of God's plan to prepare you for your breakthrough. Amen? One more quickly. To get your breakthrough, you got to remove the lid of human limitation. In verse 4, Mark chapter 2, they went to the top of the house and tore away the roof above Jesus' head. They tore away the roof. You know, in those days, most roofs were made out of clay tiles. Clay. Clay, there's symbolism in this story. Clay represents humanity. The roof represents limitations. We are all limited by our human weaknesses and our negative backgrounds, if you had a negative background. Amen? And if you look at two guys in the Bible who struggled from where they came and their bad experience and their bad background. Two guys were like Gideon and Moses, two of the greatest men who ever lived. Think about, remember that story of Gideon? He was living, you know, he was, all the Midianites were ravaging the land. Every time harvest time came, they would steal all the livestock, the crops, the wheat. And Gideon was threshing out a little bit of wheat in a wine press. He was hiding away. Angel of the Lord came to him as, Gideon, I'm calling you to lead my people out of the bondage and the destruction of the Midianites. And what did Gideon say? Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm the least of my tribe. My tribe is the smallest, right? And I don't have the heritage and the history. You got to call someone else. But God had to convince him, and God used him. Remember that? How about Moses? Greatest, one of the greatest men who ever lived. Mighty miracles done through Moses. God calls him in the desert, the burning bush. He says, Moses, I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. What did Moses say? I can't do that. I stutter. I got a speech impediment. I can't do that. And besides, I murdered an Egyptian, and now I'm just a fugitive. I'm useless. I'm a fugitive in hiding now. But God says, go, do it. I'll send my brother, but go and do it, right? And of course, they did that. You think about that. God uses. Who does God use? He uses the fameless, right? The nameless, the useless, so that he gets the glory, for the glory of God. Amen? So that no one can boast, the Bible says. There are five men in this story. Five is a number that represents the grace of God. The gracious hand of God was there. The grace, one definition of grace is this: the power to do what you and I in our own cannot do. The power the power that's released only by God to accomplish the purpose. Amen? There's a story, and I want to give it really quickly to you. There's about Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And you remember Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer to the, he was a Jew, he was an Israelite, had gone into captivity, and he ends up in, as a cupbearer, a slave, in Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And he's a cupbearer. He tests the wine before the king can drink it, just to make sure it's not poisoned. And so that was his purpose. He's just a slave. He's serving the king and the queen of Persia one day. And the king and the queen notice this long face. They say, why so long? Like, what's happened? You're not cheerful today. He's always had a good disposition. And so Nehemiah says, well, I just heard from one of my brothers that my homeland, that the walls of my city, Jerusalem, have been broken down, the gates are burned as fire, and the people are being ravaged by the enemy, and there's no protection. And I want to do something about it. And then he asked for the king, can I go and help rebuild the walls? And the king says, go. And he says, oh, can you also supply me with letters so I can go through the provinces safely? And, oh, can you also give me the materials I need and all the, you know, some of the workmen? And, you know, can you give me all I need? And can you even give me a house to live in? And the king says, go, do it. And he left that place with everything that he had asked. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, says, and the king granted these requests. Why? Because the gracious hand of God was on me. The gracious hand of God, the favor of God, is all over you today. What is grace? Grace, the unmerited, unearned favor of God. You're a child of the king. You're a citizen of the kingdom. And all the resources of the kingdom and the protection of the kingdom and the love of the king is afforded to you and I today. The favor of God needs to saturate your life and your understanding. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the Lord of the breakthrough. He does not want us to stay in captivity to our negative situations. Amen? He wants to give us breakthrough. So listen, we can pray about it, and we can prepare for it, and we can believe for it and to receive it. Amen? Amen? If you believe it, shout amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Bow your heads. Let's pray. So, Father in heaven, I pray that we would truly put you first place in our life. First in our devotions, first in our finances, first in our relationships, that we would seek you first. And I say, Father, I pray that we would honor you and we would also learn to take the limits off of you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for the breakthroughs that are coming, supernatural changes in our life that you will bring about through the power of your Holy Spirit in our finances, in our businesses, in our health, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our churches, and in the nation of Canada. Amen? In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone shout it, amen. Amen. Keep your heads bowed for 1 minute, a couple more minutes. Today, Jesus wants you to experience breakthrough like you've never experienced before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you've never given your life to him, this is the day to do that. He will, if you give your old life to him, he will give you a brand new life. And he's here to forgive you of all your sins. Anything that you're ashamed of, that you're condemned of, God wants to free you from today. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that he shed his blood for you on the cross, and he's ready to receive you if you believe him, and he will grant you eternal life. The wages, every one of us is a sinner. The wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that's what he wants to give all of us today. Amen? If that's you, and you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want you to pray this prayer after me, and you pray it with all sincerity. Are you ready for this? Thank you, Father. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. Today, I repent of my sins, and I thank you that all my sins are forgiven through the precious blood of Christ. And today, I invite you and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life for eternity. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen and amen.